You have to see, you have to stand revealing himself as a source of, he is giving all the knowledge, essence, the second verse, jnanam vijnanam. He is telling Arjuna the glory of the knowledge that he is going to give in this particular chapter. That's why before you ask someone to buy a particular product, you have to tell the greatness of the product, isn't it? Otherwise, one may not be inspired to buy, isn't it? So, here in the second verse and third verse, Krishna is inspiring Arjuna to become even more attentive to get this knowledge. Second verse is telling, jnanam teham pravijnanam idamakshyam asheshataha. I am giving you complete knowledge, my dear Arjuna. If you hear this knowledge, you don't have to hear anything else. Just to hear the knowledge and you can be completely satisfied. And the third verse is telling the rarity of people who accept this knowledge and become perfect. Manushyana, he's telling how rare are the people who endeavor on this path. And even among those who are endeavoring on this path, how rare are those who achieve perfection. So by saying this, Krishna has captured the attention of Arjuna, is it not? Just like if you tell someone, it is very difficult to get through this entrance test. Very, very difficult. 70,000 people write and only 1,000 people get through. Even after that they have a GD. And even after that they have an interview. And finally those who get through are only 5. Say like that, then one becomes even more attentive, one wants to be very careful and study. In the same way, Krishna is inspiring Arjuna here in this chapter, telling about the glory of this knowledge in the first 3 verses. Then in 4, 5, 6, 7, that is 4 to 7, Krishna is talking about his own supreme position. How he is the source of all material energy, like Bhumi, Rapo, Nave, Vayu, Kham, in text number 4. In text number 5, he is telling about the spiritual energy. And in text number 6, he is telling that he is the source of both spiritual and material energies. And then somebody may say, if Krishna is the source of all spiritual and material energy, then what is his source? Where does he come from? Then Krishna says, Matta Parataram Nandir. I am no source. In fact, I am the origin of everything that he says in text number 7. And after saying that he is the source of everything, Krishna wants to practically prove it by giving examples, how he is present in his energy. So, text number 8 to 12, Krishna is giving varieties of examples to show how everything depends on him. All the things of the world depend on him. So he will give many, many examples, Rasoham of the Kamsaya, Prabhatnisha Suryo, and the taste of water, and the light of the sun, and the fragrance that is present in earth. And I am the strength of the strong. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Krishna has said all that. But after saying all these things, one may get a doubt that all these things that you just now whatever you told me, they all belong to the three modes of material nature. The whole world is covered by three modes of material nature. Rajaguna, Tamaguna and Sattvaguna. So Krishna says in conclusion in text number 12 that although all these things are originating from three modes of material nature, understand that I am not under the three modes. Sattvam teshu te mai. He will say that I am not in them. I am aloof from all of them. And then in text number 13 to 19, Krishna will teach Arjuna. So now you understood the full glory of what is God and how he is present everywhere. What is the next step after understanding God? Surrender. So 13 to 19 Krishna is teaching Arjuna how to surrender. So he is explaining that Kriti Gunamaya Bhavit, Yeti Karamaya, how the whole world is in three modes. And foolish people think I am also under the three modes like them. But Krishna says I am not in the three modes. So then Arjuna might ask the question, okay Krishna, how can all the living beings in this world who are suffering in the three modes, how can they get free? How can they become free? And in answer to that, Krishna is telling, three modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome. But those who surrender to me can easily cross beyond it. That is in text number 14. And then the question naturally arises, if it is so easy, then why not the whole world surrender to Krishna? And just everyone gets free from three modes and achieve all perfection. That question might have been asked to Arjuna. So in answer to that, Krishna is telling, no, my dear Arjuna, not everyone surrenders to me. There are a class of people who do not surrender to him. Who are they? Namam, Vishkrishna, Muda, Apatinti, Naradama. Four classes of people he says. Then Arjuna asked him, then who surrendered to you? That he says in the next verse. Chaturvidha, Bhajantema, Jana, Sukhrishna, Arjuna. So these people surrendered to me, my dear Arjuna. These four people, Artho, Jignyasu, Arthasi, and Jnani. Now when he talked about four people, then the question arises in mind. Among these four, who is best? So Arjuna would like to confirm who is best among these four, so that he can put himself in that category. Then Krishna said, in answer, what do you say? Tesham Jnani Nityavitta Eka Bhakti Visheshati. Among these four people, out of Artho, Jignyasu, Arthasi, Jnani, Jnani is best, he said. And then Krishna wanted to confirm, although Jnani is best, don't think that others are useless. Udara Sarva Evaite. He said, others are also good people, those who come to me. At least they understood that they should surrender to me. They are not surrendering to somebody else, they are surrendering to me. They are also good. And then Krishna concludes that particular section, 13 to 19, saying that it's very, very rare for one to achieve the perfect stage of understanding me. It takes many lifetimes. Bhavunam Janmanamante. So in this way, 13 to 19, Krishna explained about surrender. How to surrender to Krishna. Then, after that, Krishna begins to speak about those who surrender, but not to him. In text number 20 to 24. There are some people who are caught up in the three modes. They also surrender. But to whom? But not to Krishna. Somebody else. So, in 20, 21, 22, Krishna is talking about, number 23 also, he is talking about those who surrender to the demigods. And in 24, he is talking about those who surrender to the Brahman, Brahmajyoti. So, he is talking about them. And in 25 to 30, actually one question arises. So, these people are not surrendering to you, then when will they surrender? How will they surrender? How will they overcome their inability to recognize you? How will they overcome their inability to serve you? Will they have to suffer for all lifetimes? No. Then Krishna answers, no. How they can overcome this inability, Krishna explains gradually. Beginning from, so somebody may ask the question, Krishna, why don't you reveal to everyone? If you are God, you are present everywhere. Why don't you reveal yourself easily so that everyone can understand you? So in answer to that, Krishna said, Aham Prakasa Sarvasya. I have my prerogative to keep confidence only to my devotees. I will not reveal myself to everyone. Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. Actually, these things you cannot follow unless you see the verse. If you don't have Bhagavad Gita with you, it will just go over the head. You cannot understand. How many of you don't have Bhagavad Gita with you? Oh, many don't have. That is very difficult to understand the flow without it. Maybe next week you can discuss again. Difficult without it.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Maya Tattamana Pata Yogam Junjan Madashraya Adam Shayam Samadgrama Yatajnya Sati Tatsuno.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So, in the earlier chapter, Krishna described that the yogi who is constantly remembering him in his heart, his great transcendental sight, Shraddha, and who is worshipping him, that's a devotee is the topmost yogi. So here, he begins the chapter saying, how can one become a yogi? How can one become such a yogi? How is it possible to accomplish that? For that, one has to hear about Krishna and his supreme position. If you know who is Krishna and what is his position, then you will know how to love him and respect him. That is what Srila Prabhupada often used to say, that we should know the signs of Krishna. It's very important to know the signs of Krishna. Anybody who knows the signs in any field, like we were giving the example, how do you know the signs of automobile? Just by driving automobile for a short distance, you can tell what is the condition of the vehicle. Similarly, in every field, somebody has studied the science of, fine arts. As soon as he gets into your house, he can immediately say whether the house has got an aesthetic appeal or not. Similarly, looking here and there, you can say this is good, this is bad. Because you know the science. Similarly, somebody has studied the science of sculpture. If you go to ancient monuments, you can say how old are they, what kind of cultures are they, and he will be able to appreciate the complicated sculptures. A common man may not be able to appreciate them. In the same way, unless we know science of God, we cannot surrender to God in full love and devotion. It is not possible. That is why one should know the philosophy as well as the religion. The philosophy discusses about the technical subject matters about God. And religion discusses about the principles or rituals and rites that one is supposed to perform in glorifying God. Out of the two, which is important? Yes. Who can repeat my question? Somebody can repeat my question from behind? Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, the two things I told you, philosophy and religion. Out of the two, which is more important? Both are important. Because philosophy without religion is mental speculation. And religion without philosophy is sentimentalism. Or sometimes even fanaticism. So we need both. So here, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you just hear about me, touch to know. Just simply hear from me. So what is the advantage of hearing? Because if one hears attentively the spiritual subject matter, then such attentive hearing with Shraddha, with faith, can bring about a great transformation of heart. As it is written in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtiki. If one hears the Srimad Bhagavatam on an everyday basis, if one gives attendance to Srimad Bhagavatam class every day, Prabhupada writes in the translation, then what will happen? Gradually, nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu. All the misgivings in the heart will be eradicated completely. As it is said, Shinvatam Sakata Krishna Punyashavana Kirtana Kadiyanta Sakati Abhadrani Vidunoti Krishna Suratsatam. So hearing about Krishna clears all the contaminations in our heart. Our heart is currently full of varieties of misconceptions. In the contaminated state, we think we are actually the controller, or we are the enjoyer, the proprietor. And due to that, there is lust, pride, envy, anger, illusion and greed. Because these six anarthas, said Ripu, they act exactly like a screen, an opaque screen between God and the living entity. Anybody who thinks I am the controller and enjoyer, who wants to dominate the world, God immediately puts the screen. He does not give them access to see Him. You cannot see God. It is not possible if one wants to lord over this world. But if one gives up these tendencies of controller, proprietor and enjoyer, understands God to be the enjoyer, proprietor and controller, then the screen is removed. Then one can see Krishna directly. So Krishna tells Arjuna, who is he? Who is Krishna? And he also explains, how should one understand him and look at him? How should one know his supreme position? So the answers that Krishna gives Arjuna are very important for all of us, by which we can also become enlightened. You can see the purport of the Prabhupada, page number 364, second paragraph, about 5th line from bottom. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma in full. By practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, the living entities, the material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. So knowledge is defined as if one knows about matter and spirit and controller of both, matter and spirit, then one has knowledge. One should know matter, spirit and controller of both, the God. But when you talk of absolute truth, knowledge of God as being impersonal is only an incomplete understanding about God. Because higher than impersonal understanding is Paramatma and then Bhagavan as well, that's further. So, unless one surrenders to Krishna, one cannot get this knowledge. That's why if you want to know the workings of a country, like America, you just surrender to the president or prime minister of a particular country. You just go to him, within 3-4 days he will tell you everything. will tell you these are this department is water department, this is education department, and this is the head of that department. He will tell you everything. How the bridges are made, how the roads are laid, how he manages the financial affairs of the country. Everything he will tell, because he knows everything. Because all the things are functioning from his hand only. He has control of each and everything in his country within his hand. So you go to the ultimate person in the country, he will tell you everything just by dealing with him. So Prabhupada used to give this example to help us understand this particular point. That if you want to know what is ultimate truth, you have to just go to God. And he will tell you, these are my material energies, these are my spiritual energies, and this is how spirit and matter interact under the influence of time, under the influence of the three modes of nature. And then when you hear from him, then your eyes become completely open. Then you can clearly see. So knowledge actually comes only by hearing, not by seeing. So it's a common misconception that we gain knowledge by seeing. People demand, show me God. Can you show me God? They want to see God and understand God. But that is not the way the knowledge begins. From cradle to crematorium, you will see that everyone acquires knowledge only by hearing. All of you, think for a while. How did you get to know the college where you are studying now? Or how did you get to know the company where you joined now? Or how did you come to know about a good house available in a particular location? Not by seeing, but by hearing from some authority. So everyone depends on some authority, and he hears it, and he puts faith in that authority. That's how we all got. Anything, you take anything in this world. Like for example, the president of Philippines is sitting amongst you. If one of you happens to be president of Philippines, how will I know? Maybe he's sitting in the audience, and somebody may come and tell me in my ears, president of Philippines has come, and see, he's the person sitting in that corner. And immediately I may stand up and welcome him and say that the president has come for our Bhagavad Gita class. Then everyone can come to know. I am seeing him, but still I do not know who he is unless somebody comes and gives me the information. Correct? So this is how knowledge comes by hearing attentively. In fact, the child learns everything in the world by hearing from the mother. Like first, your mother must have taught. Look at the sky, these are the stars, that is the moon, this is the sun, this is a cow, this is a calf, this is a tree, this is your father, brother, sister, everything. You just hear the knowledge and acquire knowledge. This is the process of bhakti. Shrimatam Sakatakrishna. Whereas jnanis, they don't want to hear from authority. They want to find out the truth themselves. They catch hold of one part of the truth and say, na iti, not this is not the truth. Is this the truth? This is not the truth. It is exactly like a caterpillar trying to locate the root of a tree. How difficult it is. If a caterpillar is in one extreme corner of a tree, in one leaf, a tiny caterpillar, now you have to move all over the tree and find out the root of the tree. Is it possible? It's almost an impossibility. If you want to know the root, you go to someone who knows it, and then when they show you the root, this is the root, you water the root, then the whole tree will grow. If you don't water the root, the whole tree will dry up. Then the answer is there, immediately. It is very simple. So, one has to hear from the authority. There are two ways of gaining knowledge, inductive and deductive. Deductive knowledge means that which is deduced. You hear from a higher authority, that Brahma tells, Narada, Narada tells, Vyas, like that it is coming down in line. And today it is available from the books of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples who are following in the Parampara like that. So this Parampara actually comes by hearing. And you don't have to do anything. No endeavor is required. Just hear the knowledge, understand it, put it in practice, and eventually all this knowledge will turn into realization. If you ask anyone, how will you know your father? Of course, any intelligent person should say that I will ask my mother. If you ask your mother, you will come to know who is your father. But if somebody doesn't believe, I will not ask my mother. I will do some genetics and fingerprint and find out who is my mother. It is possible. Nowadays, people are very proud of the medical science. They say, you will do genetic fingerprint of a man and find out who is the father of this person. You can do it. But then, if you understand how the process is, you will be shocked to know. You have to test all the males in the world, isn't it? Let us take the 10% population of the world, male adults, just 10% let us take, who can father you? That is assume a population of 10%. That comes around 250 million people worldwide. And let us take a ridiculously small rate of testing done, say 100 milliseconds per head. That turns out to be 800 years of testing, by which time you must have dead and gone. You cannot test. But even if you imagine that you are existing 800 years, still after such a difficult test, you will arrive at around 100 to 200 people who are having a very similar range, amongst whom there could be one father who could have fathered you. Then you have to break your head to find out who is one among the 200. There is no possible test for that. So, in this way, if one wants to find out the truth by inductive method, it is almost an impossibility, we can say. If you are trying to touch the nose by difficult means, you will touch the ears or you touch the top, touch the eyes, you may not exactly know where the nose is. Somebody says, this is the nose, you touch it, it's directly possible. So, deductive knowledge comes in parampara. That is why we hear from our guru. What is special master? Krishnanta says that. Tadvidyapranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshan pite jnanam jnanina tattvadarshinah. Surrender to the speak. Hear from him and execute his instructions. Serve him humbly. Then all the knowledge will be revealed in your heart. You don't have to put any other endeavor. It's very simple. But the foolish people sometimes stretch their brain to limits. Find out what is the truth. But it is not possible. There is a nice verse in Gajendra's prayer. Icchani kalena nayasya viplava. It is said. Icchani kalena nayasya viplava. He is saying, in this world, there is darkness or ignorance. And all the living beings are submerged in that ignorance. But this ignorance is not eradicated by the passage of time. He is saying. Simply by the passage of time, the ignorance is not eradicated. A practical example. In America, there are redwood trees which live for 7,000 years. Although they have become such old men, the trees, they have become such old people, still they have not become enlightened paramahamsas. That's because they have spent such a long time in this world. They have seen Buddha coming and going. They have seen Krishna and Arjuna having discussion in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. They have seen that. They have seen Jesus coming and going. They have seen Muhammad coming and going. Even after watching so many saintly people appearing in this world and disappearing, the trees are existing exactly as trees. They are not become enlightened. So ignorance can never be dispelled. Even if you shout at darkness, get lost from here, go away, darkness will not go. If you take a wand in your hand and wave it all around in all directions, darkness won't go. Even if you roll on the ground shouting, darkness, go away, it won't go. But how will it go? When the sun rises of its own accord, then the darkness will be disturbed. Similarly, when the spiritual sound vibration of Krishna consciousness is heard by the conditioned soul, and when Krishna manifests in the heart of a soul, then all the darkness will be disturbed. That is what Krishna is saying. Touch, you know, simply hear. Regular hearing. It is exactly like a person who is sleeping and who is woken up by a sound. Like Prabhupada gives a simple example. He says, you, like one man was sleeping, a man named John. Somebody was calling him, Mr. John, wake up! And the man continued to sleep. He didn't show any sign of any disturbance. Peacefully he was sleeping. And the other man was continuously calling him, Mr. John, wake up! Mr. John, wake up! Mr. John, wake up! Continuously. And this fellow started after some time getting a little disturbance. He was moving to and fro, this side and that side. He was turning his side and sleeping. Then after being continuously addressed to, for several times, then he understood that somebody is disturbing my sleep. That much he understood. He exactly didn't know what, who is calling him. He didn't even hear his name. But he knew that somebody is disturbing my sleep. Then he got up to find out who is disturbing my sleep. Because with his eyes closed, he was moving here and there and finding out. And then he saw somebody is calling him. And actually they are calling his name. They are saying, Mr. John. Oh, somebody wants me, they are calling me. Then he slowly opened his eyes and understood. He asked him, what do you want? Why did you call me? And Mr. John said, a thief has come into your house with a knife in his hand. He's going to stab you and kill you. Escape from here. Immediately John jumped up. He became awakened. In the same way, we can see in our spiritual life also, sometimes we see new people. They don't even understand the importance of spiritual life. You tell them, oh, you are suffering in the world. They will ask you, who is suffering? Happy. We don't find any problem. Narakastobhi deham bai napumam tatsumichari. Even in Narakam, even in hell, like the pig in a gutter is jumping up and down and enjoying. You've seen a pig in a gutter, like when Indra became a pig. When Rama came to rescue him, he said, I'm very happy, why are they calling me? Similarly, they say, well, they think they are enjoying an illusion. So it is very difficult to wake them up. To wake them up to reality. It's very, very difficult. Even all of us were like that before we came to Krishna consciousness. We are not awakened. But then, what is the greatest virtue? Regular hearing. That is why you want to come for the classes regularly. To come, hear about Krishna more and more. You have to repeatedly hear. You are not the body, you are the soul. Jiva Rakara Poi Krishna Siddharth. You are servant, you are not the master. You are trying to pretend to be master. Somebody has to take a random hand and beat you on the head. When we keep on hearing this philosophy, you are not the enjoyer, you are the servant of God. The beginning, it doesn't sink in our heart. But on one hand, we chant Hare Krishna and we keep on hearing this philosophy. Gradually, like this John started waking up. Then when your eyes are open, you will understand how dangerous is Maya. How dangerous is Maya. That is why you will see, only very advanced devotees appreciate the danger of Maya. When one advances more and more spiritualized, he can also understand that I am unnecessarily proud, I am unnecessarily becoming angry, I am unnecessarily becoming envious, and how I am such a fool. I am not taking advantage of good association. So they start actually cursing themselves when people become very advanced, because they have woken up, their eyes are open. The more one becomes awakened. But one who is a neophyte, he thinks he is already a pure devotee. He imagines, now that I am putting tilak, I am wearing kanchamala, now I am a pure devotee. He immediately asks him. This is the condition of a neophyte devotee. So one has to wake up to the reality. But awakening is created when one hears constantly, regularly. Just like the morning alarm clock. When they are sleeping in the house, starts shouting, tanarana, 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 and then it shouts. The beginning, nowadays they have alarm clock which has got a snoozer. You know snooze? Actually, it will keep on producing sound and you feel disturbance, you press one button and then till 5 minutes it will wait for you. And after 5 minutes again it will start. You know that? Every 5 minutes it will keep calling you, like that. And then if you don't wake up, the volume gradually increases, bigger and bigger. And then it goes even faster, like that very fast it goes. And then you have to wake up after that. Similarly, if one puts oneself in the association of devotees, and one goes here, philosophy, gradually. So regularity is a virtue. If you regularly come in the assembly of devotees, gradually by hearing, we can get awakened. But morning when the alarm clock wakes you up, what do you feel? You feel very nice? How many feel very nice? Nobody feels nice. Nobody feels nice. But after you wake up, you feel very nice. Yes, alarm clock did a good job. You woke me up for mangalarti. But during the time when you're coming out of sleep, it's very painful. Especially to come out of the thick blanket in a cold winter season. Very difficult. Similarly, to come out of ignorance and become enlightened may be painful for some people. So they don't accept Krishna consciousness very easily. Mind rebels. And rebellion may take varieties of shapes and forms. How the heart rebels against the path of devotion service. But one should hear. Even whether one likes it or not, one should hear regularly. When one hears or chants the holy name in the beginning stage of devotional life, it is very bitter. Nobody enjoys chanting Hare Krishna. People say, why don't you do kirtan instead of chanting? That is a little enjoyable, at least some sweet tune we can hear. Nobody likes japa. So I used to ask in the program, you want japa or kirtan? Everyone wants kirtan. Because nobody likes to chant japa. It's very painful in the beginning stages. But when one becomes advanced, the pitta upatapta rasana sanarachikano. When the tongue, when you have a jaundice, the tongue is very bitter. Even if you drink sugarcane juice, it's very, very bitter. But then the same sugarcane juice is a medicine. By taking which gradually the jaundice will go away. Then it will be tasty. Similarly, hearing also, when you hear in the beginning, when you hear philosophy, often we go to sleep. Mind is not ready to hear. Either you go to sleep or mind goes away somewhere else. And during the class. That is why we grasp very little. Even when you give philosophy, you may grasp very little percentage. That's why sometimes after the class I used to ask the students, please tell me one point from the class. So one boy would tell an answer. Otherwise, the same point I also wanted to say. So I said, I told 100 points in the class. Why didn't you tell? The last boy said, Prabhuji, whatever you wanted to say, they all have exhausted. Nothing to say. Because what we hear is very little. We are not hearing everything. We are not hearing completely. The attention is not there. Mind goes away. So one should hear very attentively. One should grasp the message that is coming. Karana pravishta randena swanam bhava sarodham. In Bhagavatam it is said. Just like the rain waters, when they fall on a muddy lotus flower, it cleanses the lotus completely. And the lotus can shine in its full glory, beautifully. Similarly, our heart is now covered with so much dust, and the hearing, karana pravishta, the hearing goes to the ears. Swanam bhava sarodham. It goes into the heart and cleanses the heart of all that has accumulated for millions of lifetimes. And then the real nature of the heart will be revealed. What is the real nature of the heart? Attraction for Krishna is obvious. It's already there in the heart. By cleansing the heart, the attraction for Krishna will gradually be revealed. It will manifest slowly. So here Prabhupada writes in the third paragraph, second line, concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in 9 different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. That's what Krishna is telling. Tashino, hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna. And therefore, hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna conscious person. One has therefore learned from Krishna directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna, and not from a non-devotee upstart, puffed up with academic education. This is very important. From whom should you hear? Although we have felt it till now, on the point that you should hear. Some people are so gullible, they go anywhere and everywhere to hear. Like some Maharaj is giving some Bhagavad Gita, they go and sit there. Another Maharaj is speaking on some other Katha, they go and sit there. They actually have no conception of that, from that to hear. Will you join any college? If you want to join engineering or medicine or some other degree, will you join, go and join any college? Or will you find out whether the college is authorized or not? It has to be a government authorized college, correct? Otherwise you study in a college and then by then pass out, they give you a degree which is not valid anywhere. Nobody considers your degree seriously. Nobody will give you a job. So when you join a college, you always find out the authenticity of the college. Similarly, when you hear, first question should come in the mind. Is this person qualified to gain any knowledge? Is he coming in parampara? The most important question. There are four authorized sampradayas, Brahma sampradaya. Who are coming in? Brahma Madhava Gaudi sampradaya. Brahma Madhava Gaudi sampradaya. There is Sri sampradaya, there is Kumar sampradaya, and Rudra sampradaya. So these are declared in Padma Puran to be authorized sampradayas, from where we can hear proper knowledge. And we can clearly see, anybody who hears the knowledge in sampradaya, they see a transformation of heart. That is the actual essence of hearing. If you are hearing, that should lead to what? Transformation of heart. If it doesn't lead to any transformation of heart, then your hearing is useless. It is as good as doing nothing. Prabhupada used to challenge. There are so many students who are studying in universities abroad, like Harvard and Cambridge. But even after having so much education, they have become servant of their own mind and senses. They go to nightclubs and boozing parties and all. Because their hearing has not produced any effect in their heart at all. That education is simply profuse information that hardly any wisdom. There is no wisdom in that. It is simply like, you pay somebody, my father told his son, I'll give you 25 paisa and you fill up his room with whatever you can. Some big thing you should fill up his room.
So he went to the first room. The first son had filled up the room with the stool of Gandhi, which was perfectly available in the market. You say 25 paisa, one full room you will get to for Gandhi. Second son has filled up with straw. Third son was a really intelligent son. He had kept a picture of Radhakrishna and looked up a small lamp that he bought in the shop. And the lamp was actually dissipating the ignorance in the entire room. The father appreciated him. So, this is knowledge coming in parampras is perfect. But on the other hand, there are so many people giving Bhagavad Katha everywhere who have no qualification. They have 100 people in Kapala. I don't want to name anybody and hurt anybody. But this time you will see in Kaliga, they are pretty bad. They are non-devotee Asta and Sarvata Asta. They are not devotion. But they are giving Katha and people are thousands and thousands of people are flocking there. And then there is no transformation of class. If you call it profuse information, that no one will come. Nowadays, my parents are very proud. See my small child. My child is only 4-year-old, but he's sitting in the computer. They're very proud. He's sitting in the computer. But what is the use of that knowledge? I probably challenge him. People are coming from Massachusetts, USA, or Cornell, Harvard, Cambridge. Profuse information. That is information, information, information. No transformation. What is the use of his knowledge? There is no transformation of heart. That is just what the first time did. Backing up the room with conscious truth. Useless. But the little wisdom that I am not the body, I am pure spiritual and I am a servant of God. This little knowledge in the life of a person can bring about so much transformation. Even a Rishavara, a farmer in a village, he is afraid of karma. No, I will not do this. It is not proper. It is wrong. Other man's wife, I should see them as mother. Mother, Paradaresh. They will not touch another man's woman. Because they know that there is karma. You have to see them as mother. But in America, nobody lives in family. Nobody knows who is whose wife, who is husband. They don't even marry. Because they have no knowledge. So this is wisdom. Wisdom is about how to live. What is life? Who is God? Who am I? So real wisdom should bring about a change of heart. Otherwise it is not wisdom at all. It is here in Parampara, and you put it in your life, you will see that it brings about a great transformation of heart. Completely it can change the life of a person. What a person was and what he is now, such a transformation. I have seen one ISKCON video. One boy, a very young boy. In the family they have shown the father and mother and children and uncle and aunt and everyone. In that picture, I found one very prominent person in that, who was a very big karate champion. He had a lot of hair, wearing a karate dress with a black belt in karate. So, and also he showed many pictures of him teaching many people karate and other things. So later on, this person became a full-time devotee in ISKCON later on. He became a very great devotee. So people in the town from such a background, they may be karate masters or judo masters or they might have been doctors or engineers or chartered accountants. They belong to any field. But when they come to ISKCON, they hear proper philosophy, they all have admitted that it has brought about a tremendous transformation of heart, the hearing this philosophy. So it is not just hearing blindly, as Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita purpose. Observed inquiry and blind following, both are condemned. One should not make observed inquiry that will never be useful to oneself, not for others. One should not make observed inquiry. Not just one blindly follow without asking any questions. That is what we condemn. Why should make questions? To Shukadeva Maharaj. And that's why the entire Bhagavatam is full of conversation. Arjuna made questions to Krishna. But these are sensible questions that will benefit one and all. So the question should be like that. Then, Satya Maharaj heard with Shraddha, with faith, with the desire of putting it into practice, can bring about transformation. So this is in Parampara. Prabhupada quotes all the verses from this Bhagavatam first canto. 5 verses he has quoted. What is the process that happens when one hears this knowledge? So I just read the translation. To hear about Krishna from a dedicated hearer, but to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita is itself a righteous activity. One point I forgot to speak about is the authority of Krishna. When a very great person speaks, depending on his greatness, actually people also respect those words, right? Isn't it? Like when Prime Minister of India comes and cuts the ribbon to open this house, how many people will come? Practically thousands of people will come, isn't it? Or if an ordinary man, some clerk comes and cuts the ribbon, how many people will come? Hardly anybody will come, isn't it? Because the activity is there, but who is performing is very important, isn't it? Similarly, when Krishna does it, the activity becomes very special. As it is described in the 10th and Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna, Balram and all the covered boys are surrounded by so many hundreds and thousands of cows and calves, and they are gathering in the evening, and there is a dark cloud that is raised, and which is going up to the sky, and the dust clouds are covering everyone, and covering especially Krishna's body. And Krishna is Vajendranandan with his disheveled hat, with his peacock feather on his head, with different markings of bogus and clay on his forehead and five flowers present in his body. So he looks like a village boy whose body is covered with dust. This description is vividly given by the gopi of Vrindavan. How beautiful Krishna looks. And we put that in our body, nobody will speak about it. Isn't it? Did anybody write a poem about that? You put that? Even if you don't put that, nobody will write about it. Isn't it? No matter how much beautiful we do, our beauty is temporary. But when it happens, Krishna is very special because of his greatness. So when Krishna speaks, Krishna doesn't speak very easily. Many times when Pandavas, you see Mahabharata, when Draupadi says something, Yudhishthira says something, Krishna is just hearing, and most of the time you will answer beginning a smile. But Arjuna was also giving five arguments at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Prasannika Bhagavad Gita, Krishna just gave a smile and kept quiet. He didn't say anything. But if he opens his mouth, every one of his words will be full of meaning and purpose. It is not meaningless. So this is the meaning of real eloquence. Eloquence means to put things very precisely. Truth spoken, concisely. We call it eloquence. So one should know to put the truth precisely in a few words. That is the real meaning of eloquence. So here, Krishna is speaking. How great is his authority? If a conqueror is sitting in the corner of a tree, and he tells you there is going to be a earthquake in Pune, will you fight him? You ask him, why? I will find a small crack in the road. He said, so you take him very seriously. Nobody takes him seriously. But if somebody is working with some scientific organization, they know seismography, they have a machine mechanism to find out what is happening inside there, what is happening on the surface of there. They found out some readings. The readings are going to go beyond 6 or 7 or whatever. And they publish in the paper that that was going to come, then everyone will be upset. Because that person has the authority, isn't it? So, the authoritative person, when he speaks, then it has lot of weightage. Otherwise it has no weight. But the authority is weighted. So here we are saying Krishna speaking. So who can give greater authority than Krishna himself? Krishna is the giver of knowledge to Brahma, Sri, Rudra and the Satish Kumara. So he is the source of all knowledge. Everything comes from him. And he himself tells Arjuna that I am going to tell you the truth, how much attentively should be here. And the person who has given knowledge to even Rudra and Brahma and all of them, great Mahajanas, he is giving knowledge, no one can be more authoritative. To hear about Krishna in the Vedic literature, but to hear from him directly to Bhagavad Gita, to his third wise religious activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, that Krishna who is dwelling in everyone's heart acts as a best well-wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, the devotee naturally develops his dharma's transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. That means when you hear Krishna Katha, what happens over a period of time? You will see that the devotee is becoming fixed up. What meaning of fixed up? That means you will see that he is increasing his arms, he's coming to program regularly, so you will find that he is wearing killer, he is wearing kantimala, human nirvatais, then you wear jyoti purka. These are actually a sign of commitment, better and better commitment. And one starts entering more and more service, and one starts developing a kind of attraction for devotees. He is able to clearly see devotees are having such wonderful qualities and demons are having such horrible qualities. One can clearly see actually. And one wants the company of devotees more and more. One begins seeking it more and more. Then if one becomes fixed up, by development of devotional service, one becomes free from the modes of passion and ignorance. And thus material love and avarice are diminished. When these intuitions are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlightened by devotional service, and understands the sense of God perfectly. So what happens? The science is explained here. That when one hears on one hand, on the other hand is living in the company of devotees, gradually the lust and the adaya state, that adaya means along with lust, many more people are there. Pride, envy, anger, religion, greed, that demand. They all go this gradually. Padara, jastamo, bhava, kama, loba, adaya, siya. Anadhyam, kitam satya pratidati. Then one becomes completely pure at heart. Then one can see that all the various energies are going away. and one becomes fixed up in that pure consciousness. Name dosa that has become enjoyable, very visible. One is environment. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita also. He talks about the Nasti, okay, Nasti Buddhara Yukta Janata Yukta Sabhavana, Sabhava Yukta Shantarata, Shantarata Sabhata has to come before that, two words before that. Nothing else. He is saying about Prasannata, he is talking about Prasannata. Such a person becomes enlightened, he says. Bhagavatam also says, Eva Prasanna Manaso Bhagavat Bhakti Yogata Bhagavat Vijnana Mukta Samgata Jayate. Then in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says that if one no, Rakshasa Mukta Krishna says that Atma says Vidayatma Prasadam Jagat. Next he says Prasadam Prasadam Sarva Dukkana ఆనందస్య ఉపజాయతే ప్రసన్న చేత చోచాసు బుద్ధి పరివర్తిస్తుంది. ఈ తరం వెరీ నైస్ వర్డ్. ఈ తరం రాధ చేత విముక్త విషయాన్ని చేస్తున్న ఇఫ్ యూ గివ్ అప్ యువర్ పాస్ట్ అటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ అవర్షన్ వాళ్ళకన్నా లాస్ట్ అటాచ్మెంట్ అండ్ యూ హ్యావ్ సమ్ పోలీస్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టు రాంగ్ థింగ్ టు ద వర్డ్ అండ్ యూ హావ్ అవర్షన్ టు గుడ్ థింగ్ ప్రతి దివసత్తపైన టెండెన్సీ విముక్త విషయాన్ని చేస్తాను అండ్ యూ కంట్రోల్ యువర్ మైండ్ అండ్ సెన్సెస్ and focus on Krishna. Then what happens? Such a person gets prasadam adhigacchati. He will get prasadam. Not only this prasadam. That means mercy. He is the mercy of Krishna. That prasadam is included in that prasadam. So after achieving that prasadam, what happens? Prasadam is sarva dukkana hani hi. When you achieve the prasadam of the Lord, sarva dukkana hani, all your dukkha is eradicated completely. No more dukkha in your life. No more in the day at all. Even when dukkha comes, you will not think that dukkha at all. Because, that's why, I'll give you a simple example. So you have, now, 1,000 rupees expenditure. Something all of a sudden from your vehicle has gone repair or something, a problem comes. And then you spend 2,000 rupees. And then monthly salary is only 5,000 rupees. How is it? Maybe you get that in the heart, oh, I have to spend 2,000. But, all of a sudden you get 2 crores. Someone gives you 2 crores. And then now you have to spend 2,000 for your vehicle. How is it? Will you think that? And you have to approach the same? You have to do anything. So getting bhakti is like that. When you get bhakti, the quantum of happiness that bhakti produces is that 2 crores rupees are even more. And when you have so much happiness, that small things keep the coming here, like somebody is thinking from behind, somebody is thinking here, different types of other people give you. You are completely oblivious to that. It doesn't affect you at all. You understand this example? Somebody can repeat the example. Let me check whether they understood properly. Yes, mind is lovely. In comparison, the small happiness that you get in material world, material pleasures. They have to give you some happiness, but they are not having a very high amplitude. They are small happiness. Yeah.
But for the small years, two years, then and years, then the year, then the year, then the year, it is a prasade sarva dukkana hanirasya prajayate. When you get the last prasad, all your dukkha is vanquished completely. Prasanna cheta cha vyasu asanam kriti. Prasanna cheta cha vyasu buddhi parivartishyate. Very quickly one sees the prasannata happiness. Buddhi parivartishyate. Buddhi becomes fixed up in Krishna. Like that he says. And then he says, nasi buddhara yuktatanaka yuktatya bhavana. So one buddhi is not fixed. One is not achieved bhavana for the Lord. Then he says, Sabhavata Shanti, Ashanti Sabhu Tarsakam. Such a person, if he doesn't have peace, he don't see where the person of happiness. Exactly. So he cannot even have normal peace of mind. How can he have happiness? So his prasannata comes in bhakti, by entering devotion service. That is gradually these steps come. Initially person is hearing, and then gradually this rajas, tamas, they all go away, and one becomes fixed in devotion service, one experiences bliss, space of bliss and experiences, and then all the smartphone miseries of the world, material miseries, they become tiny, insignificant for the devotees, trivial.
he becomes secure in goodness. Siddhanta Se Pratidati. If you are secure in goodness, your mind will never work in a wrong direction. If you are secure in moral goodness, mind will always come good. It is said in a society where the Vedic culture is naturally followed, where the Brahmin culture is followed, people will always be helpful. The helpful tendency will be there. You always say, how can I serve the other person? How can I help him? How can I help her? And even if they do some little good, then your mind greatly appreciates it. Wonderful, how nice it is, what is behaving. So this is actually Brahmin culture. Because Brahmin culture is more of goodness. And otherwise, what happens is there is passion and ignorance. We cannot be good in others. On the contrary, we will be trying to pull the leg of other people always. The competitive mentality is that, in the mode of passion. In this way, Siddham Sakya Prasidati, one becomes achieved in the mode of goodness. The bhakti yoga severs the hard knot of material protection and enables one to come at once to the Tejas, Avantayam Tamagram, understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth, personality of Godhead. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or from a devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the science of Krishna. Sometimes people ask, how can these material desires be overcome? They are troubling our hearts so much. But by sincere devotion service, the hard matter of material attachment can be severed to pieces. It's possible. As Krishna says, Akanshayam Samadrahma, Tata Jnakati, Tatishthuno. By hearing this, you will become free from all doubts. Akanshayam. Samadhyam is completely, ma, you will completely surrender in me. It's possible for you. So in this way, Krishna is requesting Arjuna to hear attentively about him. And the second verse, Jnanam teham tati jnanam
Jnanam teham tati jnanam
Dulam baksham yate satah Yajnat vaneha bhuyonyat
Nātavyam
avasishyate
Nātavyam
avasishyate Here two things Krishna telling. Jnanam Deham tati jnanam, isn't it? Samantari has given explanation to this two words, jnana and vijnana. Generally, jnana means we call it as knowledge, isn't it? I am not the body, I am the soul. That's what we call as knowledge. Here, Ramana just explained, this meaning of this word, jnana here, refers to Krishna and this energy. That is actually knowledge. Knowledge of Krishna and his energy is referred to as jnana. And what is this vijnana? He explains that vijnana is actually knowledge of the Krishna form, root of Krishna. So jnana simply means Krishna is energy. So vijnana means knowing Krishna's form and surrendering to that form. That's called vijnana. So in this world, Krishna is fixing Arjuna's attention by glorifying the knowledge that he is going to speak. How glorious is this knowledge Krishna is telling in this world? I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and nominal. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Because in phenomenal and nominal means material and spiritual. And what is the idea, my dear Arjuna? Material and spiritual, both knowledge. And if you know this knowledge, there is nothing else needs to be known. You know everything. It is complete knowledge. On the contrary, you see, Jesus telling Peter, my dear Peter, I have a lot more to tell you, but you are not capable of hearing. I am only giving you partial knowledge. Because if you give it beyond this, you will not be able to tolerate. Like you just said, you know, once somebody was asking Brahma, he was performing penance to Brahma. Brahma appeared in front of him and asked him, what do you want? He said, I want your intelligence. Brahma said, I don't mind giving you, I can give you, but your head will break into pieces. He said, give you my intelligence. So similarly, Jesus told, it's not possible for you to understand my dear Peter. I'm giving you only partial knowledge. But here Krishna is so confidently telling him, this being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. So he is telling, yet jnatva naktiha bhujo net jnatajnam avasishyate. There is no avasish. I am telling you everything. Okay. So there is a nice point in the purpose of this. Complete knowledge includes knowledge of the phenomenal world, the spirit behind it, and the source of both of them. And in fourth line he is saying, the above mentioned come along because Arjuna is Krishna's consensual devotee and friend. In the fourth chapter, Krishna said, I am giving you the knowledge why? भक्तो अपने कंप्लीट नॉलेज कैन बी अचीव ओनली बाय द डिवोटी ऑफ द लॉर्ड इन डेवलप्ड पर्सन नो लेस देन अदर वन टू इंटर में नो रिसोर्स ऑफ ऑल नॉलेज हु इज द कॉज ऑफ ऑल प्रॉब्लम एंड द कॉज ऑफ ऑल प्रॉब्लम बिकम्स अननोन द कॉज ऑफ ऑल प्रॉब्लम बिकम्स नोन देन एवरीथिंग नॉलेज बिकम्स नोन एंड नथिंग रिमेन्स अननोन सो हियर प्रॉपर एक्सप्लेनिंग एट द कंप्लीट नॉलेज कैन बी अचीव ओनली बाय द डिवोटी. Why is it? Why other people can have only partial knowledge? What is the reason? They can't say. They don't go to the source. They are trying to find out themselves. Like if there is a complicated mechanism and if you try to research it and analyze it yourself, you may get to know some portion of the truth. But you cannot know everything. Just like the sixth blindness, isn't it? You are starting the, the side of the elephant and say, this is like a wall that is, this is like a wall that is falling apart. Be careful, the wall is falling apart. Another fellow was tapping the leg and said, this is like a vertical pillar. Another fellow was tapping the trunk and said, this is like the hood of a snake. Somebody was tapping the ears and said, no, it looks exactly like a fan. Somebody tapped the tail and said, this is like a rope. So they all came to their own conclusion. Similarly, in India, there are six systems of philosophy. You know that? Like Zenini, Kalina, like that six systems of philosophy. All of them have completely contradicting conclusions. Like you six blindness. Like nice and matching story, yeah? Six blindness and six philosophy. So they hold seminars for 6 days in India, and many Brahmanas, so-called Brahmanas, go and attend the systems of philosophy, and it is good for nothing. You attend 6 days seminar, you only get headaches. You don't get anything tangible from that. Because they are achieving different conclusions. Somebody says, I have analyzed through Tantra philosophy. Everything comes from Mahatattva. And Mahatattva is ultimate. That's the conclusion. There's nothing beyond Mahatattva. Somebody says everything comes from a big bang. So they have conclusions like this. They're not writing the proper authority. Of course, the part of the truth that they are speaking of may be true. Because they hold demand only one part of the truth. They can't know the totality of truth. But if a bhakta, devotee of Krishna can know the complete truth. How? Because he is going to Krishna directly and ask him. Now, imagine, even if all of us are blind, you don't have eyes to see. If somebody comes and describes you how the elephant is like, then you can get a complete understanding. If I tell you the elephant's nose is not like your nose, it has a very big, long nose. It looks like a hoof of a snake. And the elephant's ears are not ordinary, it's very big. The elephant has a huge body. The legs of an elephant are like pillars. So if I describe you how the elephant looks like, then all of us can come to know, correct? So all we need is a person who has open eyes to see the elephant, and we can discuss with everyone who has open eyes to fly. So now, how did we come to know about Krishna as God? The great devotees of God explained to us how Krishna is God. The Lord holds the veil in His hand. Aranda Galaya Taksham, that is our glorious pattern. Bhagavatam Adhutam Vida Sundarangam. And he has a beautiful tip of feather on his head. And he has a beautiful curly hat on his head. Kandar Pakoti Kamanu Yavisheshashogam. Crows of Mada Akiti. They become mad after seeing the beautiful form of Krishna. Govindavadi Purusham Namaham Bhajan. So such a beautiful form of Krishna called as Govinda, great Lama. So simply hear from the authority how Krishna is like. And then you go to the temple and take Dakshina to Devi. The same form described in the scriptures by Acharyas is made in the form of Devi. So one can get to know everything. Very simple. Just hear from the authority. Who is God? How he looks like? What are his energies? How does he operate? How does he deliver the truth? Everything can be known simply by surrendering. That is for jnanam, vijnanam. He says both jnanam, teham, savijnanam. And then Krishna is telling about the rarity of his knowledge, how the knowledge is very, very rare. Because if you know how the knowledge is there, then you will take it seriously, right? Otherwise you will take it very cheaply. So next he is telling about the rarity of his knowledge. Manasyanam tahasreshu सिद्धाना तत्व to achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. The Krishna tells how rare is his knowledge. Later on in the text number 19 and 26 also will tell similar rarity of this knowledge. But Guru is telling him, there are so many greater people in this world. Rupa Goswami was trained by Lord Chaitanya and the Chaitanya Gata about how rare is the Krishna Bhakta. Rare is telling, there are so many living beings in this creation. There are how many species? 8.4 million species are there. Rare is saying, there are beasts, there are human beings, there are birds, and there are reptiles. So there are different living beings like that. Among them, human is 400,000 species are human species. But human and human, there are two categories, civilized and uncivilized. Those who are uncivilized, they are very unclean. They have very, very unclean habits. Krishna talks about them in the 16th chapter. That is what? Pravrittincha, nivrittincha, janayana vidurātira, atavam, atavam nāpita atāro, atavtante suvityate. He is telling, pravrittincha, nivrittincha, janayana vidurātira. They are not what is right and what is wrong. They do any kind of non-sensical activity. Not outcome. They don't have any degree of planning. They wear the same jeans for 6 months. They're unclean. That outcome, not with our power. They don't have any achar, any etiquette of behavior. Especially in very urgent, people are very unclean. People don't take bath for. In Germany, I've heard people take bath only once in a fortnight. They were celebrating. They have a shower day on this specific bath. So this is why he says, Nakar Tam Nasa Chacharo, they eat anything. It is a novel and people, whatever flies in the sky, like cockroach, you know, the cat can eat it directly. You don't have to cook on that. They have very unclean habits. Nakar Tam Nasa Chacharo, Nasa Tam Tishu Vichyate. They don't have truthfulness also. So these are uncivilized people. They have no clean habits, they have no faith in God, and they do not follow the intentions of the scripture. They are called as uncivilized class of men. And the civilized class of people, who are they? They accept God. Exactly the opposite. They accept God. And they follow the rules and regulations given by God in the scripture. And they have clean habits. They follow scripture. So Bhavana will be very happy and proud that I am a civilized man. But then in civilized people there are many categories. Most of the civilized people are generally following the path of mundane piety. Mundane piety means doing some puja parts in the morning and begging God, give me this, give me that. Like the people can't go to the process and say, I chant Hanuman Chalisa every day. In the morning. But 10 minutes or 20 minutes Hanuman Chalisa and finish for the day. And they come to do whatever you want. So, having some kind of mundane religion, something traditional coming from one's father, mother, a grandfather. So they have some kind of piety or they do karma time. Even if they do yajna and all. Again, they do karma time. They are mundane pious. That is 90% of the civilized men. Even if they are civilized, 90% of them do in the karma time. But a few of them understand why should I do karma time and again go to heaven and fall back again and again. It means go out of this material world. So they become jnani. They become jnani. Those who work for getting out of this material world, they want shanti. Shanti, shanti, shanti. You want peace. Because the middle world is constantly giving them pinch. But what is this? This is death. They want to get out of it. And what is that? They don't know. What is beyond this world? They don't know. Brahman Satyam, they know. Death is Nitya. But they don't know what is the Satya. They have no information about what is the Satya. They only know about the Omkar. Omkar is another Brahman. Brahman is that. But what is that Brahman? What's the description? They have absolutely no idea. But regarding Nitya, they can talk what is and what is. Our books. It is Nitya. They can talk only about that. Actually, it's not Nitya. That's not what they explain. It is real, but temporary. So, you are part of the jnani. And out of these jnanis who are working for them to come in, some of them have become yogis, having desires of achieving some mystic powers. Climbing on sky, walking on water, or creating something. But very few, tiny fraction of those people go to the path of devotion service. Because the jnanis want to merge in Brahman, and yogis want to across the mystic powers and make a show to the world how great they are. But Ramakrishna wants to go to heaven and enjoy heavenly pleasure. But Bhakta is the only one. Then it is a bhakti kami, mukti kami, sthiti kami, satave, asanta. We are not about this one. But Krishna Bhakta is kama, katagaya kasanta. Krishna Bhakta is nishkama. He is desireless. He is no desire. Except for the desire to serve Krishna. So he is called atagaya kasanta. He is peaceful. That is why the Bhakta says, Muktanam api siddhanam narayanam parayanam. So they love Prasantatma Koti Shati Mahamuni. It is called Muktana among the liberated Muktas, Apisiddhana, and among the Siddhas. Those who are Narayana Parayana, because the worshippers of the Supreme Personality of God is Narayana. How is Narayana say? Sudurlabha, not even Durlabha, Sudurlabha. Very rare, he said. Prasantatma, they are very peaceful, peacefully situated. They are the happiest people in the world. The entire creation, the happiest people are Narayana Parayana, not Kamakrodha Parayana. Not those who are satisfying their lucky desires. Only those who are Narayana Parayana are the most satisfied people. But amongst Mukhayana and Siddhara, amongst these people, it says, Kotishati Mahamune, it is said. That means Koti Koti Mukta and Koti Koti Siddhara. Amongst all of them, how rare is a devotee? He is one out of crores of Muktasam Siddha. That is the rarity of a Krishna Bhakta. So this is Bhagavatam, and same as explained to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Bhagavatam Yatashat Madhara. That is the rarity of the devotee. So, out of many, many thousands of people, only one may endeavor is for perfection. And even those who endeavor, some of them will follow the intervention. They will follow them. They may not be able to perfect their life. Some may go this way, some may go this much. But little they go, but then they fall back. Did something. Because it is not very easy for one to achieve Krishna unless one executes analyzed devotional service. You know the meaning of analyzed? But in a metal sometimes there is manganese, sulfur, different kinds of things are mixed together. Copper, everything is mixed together. So that's called as alloy. Alloy is mixture. So when our love for God is not pure because it is mixed with so many other desires. Like this is the house. We have love for grandfather, grandmother, children, wife, friends, our job, our house, our big dog, our cat, our garden, and our own bed, and our own walkman, and whatnot, our particular dress, the attraction for so many things. So we are distributing our love in bits and pieces, and what is left of the size to hardly 1%. So this is allied love. Unallied love means? Your love. That's the analyzed love. So, Krishna will demand that analyzed love. In fact, the person explains, Krishna is called the jealous lover. He is called jealous lover. Jealous lover means he says, you should not distribute your love to anything else other than me. He got surprised by this term jealous lover. Although he is asking you exclusive love towards him, he is also ready to give such exclusive love to you. The amount of love that Krishna can give to living entities is unimaginable. It's an unfathomable portion. So, he tells us this because only when one loves only 1% completely, then such a love can be completely pure. It doesn't mean that we should not love other living entities, but our love for other living entities should have the basis that we are seeing them in connection with Krishna. Primary discerning. The husband should be affectionate to his wife, but not attached. The father must be affectionate and not attached. As possible, if one sees wife to be a property of Krishna, and children to be property of Krishna, house to be property of Krishna, he can very carefully take care of the house and property and everything going to Krishna, understanding that to be the property of Krishna put under your custody. Then one can do that with his father. So just like a mother may see a client child and give some thing, you know, mother may give a toy, or may give a tricycle, or may give some eatable to the child, and try to somehow put off the crying of the child. But the child takes these things and becomes very happy. The mother will think, oh, this is what he wanted, but they be satisfied with that. Similarly, this child will also give us many things. Somebody is chanting Krishna's name very rigorously. As soon as we get one lakh rupees in lottery, we call it Krishna. and he gets the better job of abroad. He says, now let Krishna wait for some time. Let me go abroad and earn a lot of money now. Let him retire. I'll attend to him later in life after I become retired. You can think like that. So Krishna will ask, oh, this is what you wanted. You just wanted money? Or you wanted property? Or you wanted this? Or Krishna may even elevate one to heaven with honor. But the devotee says, I don't want any of these things. Nadanam, nadanam, nadam, darim, Sukhmata says. I don't want anam, I don't want janam, I don't want materialistic colors. I don't want smirim, I'm not attracted to the beauty of this material world. I'm a janmani, janmani, ishwara, bhagavad bhaktara, hai sukhita. I only want to render devotee service to you, my Lord, without any motivation. Both are prepared. This is actually the demand of the Krishna. The one can love Krishna like that, exclusively, the Gopi Sarantana love him like that. They never tried for any obligations, any society, friendship, love of this material world. Rukmini, our great place, that Krishna, you are the deserving husband of every entity. Nobody else is a husband. Krishna is actually the ultimate husband of every living entity. We are a part of Prakriti. Krishna is actually Purusha. So, in this way, when one exclusively surrenders to Krishna, then one can be one out of this, which is already explained, Manishyanam Sahasayasu. Out of 1,000, one endeavors of perfection. And out of those who endeavor perfection, one understands Krishna in Tattva. That is why the word Tattva is used in many places in Bhagavad Gita. Satyasu, Ananya, Satya, Bhakta, Mamati, Janati, Yavan, Yashasni, Tattva. He says that. Dhamma karma chanayati yagam yagam yagaiti tattva, isn't it? Any other word? That is not tattva, it's tattva. Tattva yana adas charantite, ahamvi, sarva yajnana, bhakta adata parevacha, adamamati janati, tattva yana adas charantite, he said. So one has to understand tattva, adam in truth. So if one has to understand him in truth, one has to have extreme devotion. Vaishnava lifestyle, in Vaishnava's life is the only life where there is such exclusive devotion. Everyone else is polluted. Jnani, he also worships the deity. But what is his ultimate purpose? He will abandon Murti Puja and then wants to merge in Brahma. Such a duplicative mentality. Just like if you have a spoon for stirring the milk, you add some sugar to them and you want to stir the milk. Once you have stirred the milk and now the milk is next to the revenue crowd with the spoon. Similarly, according to Jnani, he used the deity of the Murti Puja just as a stepping stone to merge into Brahman. That is why such a jnana, such a path of jnana is not appreciated by the Lord. And other than yogis, they want to perform several penances. What for? Achieving some kind of mystic powers so that they can make a show to other people. A bhakta is such an innocent hearted devotee. The devotee simply wants to serve Krishna. He doesn't want anything for himself. Even the desire for serving Krishna is not outside the purview of the soul. It is ended in the soul. And they are telling, why does a devotee want to serve Krishna? That also is a desire. And people challenge like that, who are envious people. They challenge that, that means the devotee has desire. He did not desire anything. He is desiring to serve Krishna. This is not a desire. We can prove it, how it is not a desire. Just like Shiva says, I want to be sweet. Is it wrong? Or Paul says, I want to be saltish. What's wrong with that? So there is to be sweet. And the desire for this to serve Krishna. So the devotee is not desiring anything outside the purview of the soul. He is desiring what is his eternal quality. The eternal quality of the soul is to serve Krishna. So one has to come to the platform to appreciate. Then one can be one amongst his rag. So, this is proper right here. See the purpose of time? There are various ways of men, and out of many thousands, one may be sufficiently interested in transcendental realization to try to know what is the self. What is the body and what is the absolute truth? Otherwise, generally mankind is something engaged in animalistic propensities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Bulk operation, you see how it's degraded. And down below, after, I think, 10th line, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna can be known only by persons who are in Krishna consciousness. Other transcendentalists may achieve impersonal Brahma realization. So, this is easier than understanding Krishna. Yogis and Jnanis are confused in their attempts to understand Krishna. And one last point, Prabhupada is one interesting point. Down below, last line of the page, 367. Although Now devotees declare that the path of bhakti or devotional service is very easy. They cannot practice it. If the path of bhakti is so easy, as the non-devotee class of men proclaim, then why do they take up this good path? Actually, the path of bhakti is not easy. See, some people say, Jnani say, you see, bhakti is for sentimentalistic people. You know, it's not for people who are advanced. There are many followers of other missions. They say, bhakti is only for sentimental people. They chant God's name, other things, some bhajan. It's for women and, you know, shudras and vaishyas and people like that. It is not for us. We Jnani, we are actually advanced in wisdom, knowledge. Prabhupada is asking, if your path is difficult, the path that you are following, and this path is easy, why is it an easy path? Like somebody says, in order to come here, that is a route. It's just got stones and thorns and pebbles, and there is no proper road, and after it is over 20 kilometers from my house, how to come. That is another easy path, which is only 2 kilometers, and it is a smooth road. Which will be take? Actually, a smooth road, isn't it? That's a third path. So Prabhupada is challenging them. If you say bhakti path is easy and jnana path is difficult, then why do you take up the path of bhakti? And then Prabhupada is saying, how it is not easy? He is saying here, the so-called path of bhakti practiced by unauthorized persons without knowledge of bhakti may be easy. What may be easy? The so-called path of bhakti practiced by unauthorized persons. But when it is practiced factually according to the rules and regulations, the speculative scholars and philosophers fall away from the path. Understand? Here is saying that actual path of bhakti is difficult because anya adulajita shunya. Jnana karma adi anavritam. Sir, here is called jnana is finished. Because jnana karma adi anavritam. You cannot have monistic conclusion, nor can you have desires of spiritual activities. Anya adulajita shunya. You have to abandon all materialistic desires and have a pure desire for serving the Lord. Anukul Jana Krishna. Even if you remember in Krishna, it has to be anukul. You cannot remember Krishna like Kamsa remembered or Siddhita remembered. You have to remember Krishna like Yashodhana, Yashodhana remembered or Radharana remembered. Anukul Jana Krishna. So these are actually the tenets of pure bhakti. But there are many people who claim to be bhaktas who are crying tears and wearing saris and mandalas. The Prabhupada used to say, Sahajyas mandalas. Even men, sometimes they wear saris and say that they are like gopis. So Prabhupada wants us telling, don't think simply by wearing saris, Krishna will become cheated by you. Prabhupada, Krishna will not become cheated that you are a gopi. Krishna knows the heart of everyone. So these sahajyas, they are for the bhakti that he is in. As a jnani, who are doing some murti puja for a temporary period of time in order to go to Brahma, this kind of cheating bhakti may be very easy. But not the platform of real bhakti. Real bhakti if you have to do, one has to be in the beginning advaishta. One has to be non-envious. Advaishta, sarva bhutana, maitra savana yavacha, nirmamo, nirahankara, samadukka dukkatam. These are the 12 chapters of his verse. And you will understand the standard of the bhakta. The real standard of the bhakta cannot be imitated by the speculative philosopher who always wants to put his own views in front of God's views. Krishna is telling matam mama, my opinion is this. And one big politician is saying, don't hear Krishna's opinion, you are my opinion. So they are actually competing with Krishna and giving their own opinion. How can such speculative philosophers follow the path of bhakti? They actually call it as easy, just like the fox, you know, who said, oh, this grape is useless because it is sour. He has never tasted even one grape from that. So they say it is sour. I don't want that, right? But he jumped up and he could not achieve it in anime saying that it is sour. Now the story, isn't it? There is a deep meaning. Similarly, they cannot do bhakti because it demands analog now. They cannot do that. So they imitate the path of bhakti by doing some so-called murti puja, which actually happens to the baby. Because they think the baby is a stepping stone to go to the impersonal.